This is Dr. Max T. Younts, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is our privilege to have you join with us the same time each week. And again, we count it our privilege to be able to come into your homes and to share with you. We hope that you have your Bibles out. We're continuing now in our Bible study over here into 1 Peter, and we're over here on the subject here of water baptism. And we find out over here, as we've studied previously here, we got over here in verses 19, 20, and 21. And we'll begin here in verse 19, by which also he went on and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, we found out last week as we brought this out, and we had said here about concerning now the word here translated prison. And we have said here, as we brought out here, it is phulake, P-H-U-L-A-K-E, and it's translated prison, cage, hold, ward, watch, and so forth, but it is never translated hell. And there are those some that try to bring out and say, well, they went to hell, and then they have a second chance. Let me say this to you. When you die in your sins by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, nowhere in the Bible ever, from Genesis to Revelation, do you ever have a second chance to get out. You'll never get out. You'll be there for 10 trillion years, and that's just a down payment as to all time and eternity. The word here, translated phulake, never is used for the word, I should say, hell, or that, or the lake of fire. Never is that word used whatsoever. It really means you're just encaged in the prison of your sins. You're imprisoned in your sins. Now we come on down and we find out here in verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein, that is, eight souls were saved by water, that God waited. Now you say, how in the world did he wait? Well, the word wait there, we find out, while Noah was preaching to the people that a judgment was coming because of their sin, which he did, God waited while the ark was completed. Now, when we go over here to Genesis, clear back where this is recorded, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, we're told, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, this verse is used many times to show that a person can cross an invisible line, then they cannot be saved. But this, again, is an erroneous teaching, for any person can be saved as long as they are alive. And the thief on the cross is a perfect example of that. He just had just a very few minutes, and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But what this is speaking about, when you go back to Genesis chapter 6 and read this, the Spirit quit striving at the end of 120 years when the flood came and all of the people died. After death, it was too late to be saved. We never find where anybody was saved after they perished in the worldwide flood. You know, it's a very interesting thing because we just like to point this out. Do you know that it had never rained a drop on the face of the earth up until it rained at the flood? It's recorded there in the first part of Genesis there that the earth was watered by the dew that came up from the ground and so forth. And never a drop of rain had fell from heaven now from the clouds down upon the earth. So when Noah told them, he told them something that had never happened, and they would not have faith in God that a judgment was coming. And yet it did, you see. And we're just saying this. Now, we have this down payment. The Lord Jesus has come. He came the first time just on schedule, what all the Old Testament prophets had prophesied. And yet, the last word here from heaven, when Christ ascended there in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, was you men of Galilee, the same Jesus which is taken up from you, so shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go. So the first word back from heaven is that Christ is coming again. And you know what? Your modernistic churches, I talk to people all the time, does your pastor ever preach of Jesus Christ coming again? We've never heard of such a thing. Never heard of the rapture, Pastor Yauss. Never heard of it. Well, you're in the wrong church then, because that's part of the Bible that they're not going to teach you. And why, I don't know, unless they don't believe it. That's probably the reason right there. When we get on over here into 2 Peter chapter 3, you're going to find out that it says here, what know you not, in the last days mockers shall come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? If you're in a church and you never hear about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ or the rapture, when every Christian is going to be catched out of this world, snatched right out of this world in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, then you're in a modernistic church. You're in a church that does not believe the Bible. They have a form of godliness, but have no power thereof. That's why instead of preaching the Word of God, they have to have all the ritualism and all the formalism and so forth. Light the candles, walk the aisle, have this, have that, every other kind of thing. Repeat the Apostles' Creed, and they'll have you quoting this, quoting that, and this and that, instead of having you sit down and listen while they expound the Word of God. They don't believe the Word of God. That's why they substitute all the other religious rumbo jumbo in order of teaching, thus saith the Lord. Now, let's get back here to our text back here. In verse 21, where it tells us here, the like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us. Now, we want to emphasize this, save us from what? Now, it tells, first of all, the negative, what it does not save you from. It does not save you from your sins. And it puts it in these words, doeth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Not any sins you've done in the flesh does water baptism pay for. And then it says, but what does it save us from? But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we are baptized after that we are saved, not to be saved, but after that we are saved, this becomes a testimony. Now, when we know that God wants the Christian to be baptized, then that Christian, if that Christian does not and is not baptized, then they have a guilty conscience because they know they're guilty by disobeying what the Lord wants them to do. We had a man come, been raised in Roman Catholicism. He trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he said, Pastor, I was baptized here. He said, by sprinkling. He said, should I be baptized again? I said, well, first of all, sprinkling is not baptism. That's the first thing. You'll not find that in the New Testament whatsoever. Sprinkling was like the sprinkling of the blood, and the word is renso. And it is the sprinkling of the blood of the upon the sacrifices so forth offered by the priest. But never is sprinkling for water baptism. You cannot find it if you want. Again, this is a substitute and a counterfeit of baptism. There is no sprinkling in the New Testament at all. If you were to go there, you've had your baby sprinkled, go and ask your pastor where to show you in the Bible anywhere where it is sprinkling instead of submersion. And the reason for that is submersion shows when you go under the water, it shows that you are symbolically showing as a public testimony by being submerged, you are showing you believe that Christ died for you. It shows death. When you're raised up out of the water, it shows life and it shows resurrection. And that's why you are to be water baptized. Everywhere they used water, went down into the water, and so forth. But I've heard Church of Christ, I've heard Lutherans, and I've heard Catholics quote this verse and never quote the last half of the verse, because that would refute what they're telling you. They'll say, doesn't it say, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, and cut it off right there. And you've probably heard the same thing yourself. If you're honest with yourself, or have your ears open, or your eyes open, and you listen to what's being said, then you probably heard the same thing too. I've heard it many, 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 many times. And I remember one time we was riding a car, and we had this Church of Christ program on. And he quoted the same thing, and I said, Marge, I'll bet you he cut her right off. And boy, he did. He never gave the last half of the verse. But it tells us here, this isn't talking about salvation, whereunto, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. It saves us not for salvation. Baptism is for those who are already saved, but it tells you what it does not save you from. It does not save you from the putting away of the filth of the flesh. I was listening to a broadcast here a few Sundays ago, and they had a baptism, and they were baptizing a little baby, and they had over the air there, said, you know, this will wash away their sins. Now let me say something to any person who will use their head and think. first of all, you mean to tell me that God is going to send a baby to hell if the parents are atheists? That the parents are going to, because they are atheists, they don't go to church, they don't believe in God, or we'll say they believe in God, but they've never had their baby baptized, and they don't go to church, and God's going to send that baby to hell because of unbelieving parents? Well, that's not the God I know. That's not the God of love. That's not the God that loves little children. That's not the God I know. Now, let me say this. Now, you mean to tell me, and I'm going to say it because we run into this many, many times. We'll run into someone whose mother and father has had their baby baptized as a little baby, 2 months old, 3 months old. Oh, we got to rush down. We got to get it baptized. Well, let me say this. Nowhere in the Bible, anywhere, are babies ever to be baptized. So many times we run into adults. Well, I'm all right. And we've asked, have you been born again? Do you have the new birth? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? Oh, I don't want to hear that. I was baptized. My mother had me baptized. I still have my certificate. And yet I heard this preacher say, yes, this baptism will wash away your sins. Well, he not only lied, but he probably sealed that little baby when he grows up. If he trusts in that, and he trusts in that certificate, then he's going to die and spend eternity in hell. Now, let's go over here and look at just a few things while we're here, all right? Read this again. I want to emphasize this to get it. You might go and have your baby baptized, the worst thing you could ever do. This is trickery to get you into the church, get you sealed by the church, get you dedicated to the church, but there is no scripture in the Bible ever to baptize babies. Baptism is only for those that have reached the age of accountability to be able to discern that they're a sinner and they have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Then God wants them to be baptized as their public testimony of what they have done. Notice again, and then we'll go on. The like figure whereunto even baptism doeth now save us, now it tells you what it doesn't save you from. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, not paying in any way for any sins you have ever done, does baptism do. But it does tell us, let's read the next line now, but it is an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, to prove that, let's go on. I'd like for you to turn in your Bible with me, and I'd like for you to go over here to the book of Acts, where Philip had baptized the eunuch. Now, we come over here to the book of Acts here in chapter 8, and I'd like for you to follow along with me now. In Acts chapter 8 here, we find out here in verse 30. We'll pick it up here and read on down, and then it's very interesting here to see what God has done, all right? In Acts chapter 8 here in verse 30, all right? Now, let's go here and begin. He says here, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest? Now, here was the eunuch here reading in the Bible here. And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Now, if you go back in your Bible, and you'll find out back here that this is recorded in Isaiah. We'll go back here to the book of Isaiah here in chapter 53. Now, let's go back where he was reading, all right? In Isaiah back here in chapter 53 in verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, and he opened not his mouth. And then it goes on down. This is all speaking of Christ. If you read verses 5 and 6, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and everyone turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Not water baptism. You do not find that. He bore our sorrows, and so forth. And then we come on down, and we begin to find out here, tells all of this prophecy about Christ for what he did, and so forth. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. But it says nothing about water baptism. Now, this is for eternal life, showing us that Christ paid for our sins. He was the one here. By his stripes on the cross were we healed. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Not water baptism. Not something you can do. Now we come on over and we begin to find something else that we want to look at here. I'd like for you to go in your Bibles here to Luke chapter 18. Now Luke chapter 18 here, as we've said again. Now you know, it's an amazing how many people have been fooled by tradition, been fooled by the church, fooled by the preacher who says, oh, bring your baby and have it baptized. And never once have you ever read in your Bible anywhere where babies were ever baptized. You never read that. You never will read that, because God does not want babies baptized, because it leads them into a false assurance that they're all right. And when you hear the preacher up there and give the certificate and go through all this rumbo jumbo and make you feel so pious and so good and so clean, that water cannot do a thing for you. In fact, when he baptizes, he's not even baptizing. He's not using a scriptural method for baptism, because sprinkling is nowhere found. Go to your preacher and ask him. And this is something, you know, they put such fear into people that you're scared to go to your preacher. Oh, I'll be insulting to him. You ought to insult him if he's lying to you, shouldn't you? I think if a preacher can lie to you, because you got to remember this. Now, even if that preacher doesn't believe what he preaches, do you know why he's doing it? Because to keep his job. Because if he's with an organization that he doesn't even agree with, when he has a parsonage and he has a salary and he has a position, he cannot, even if he's convicted that that organization is wrong, he cannot, and many, 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 many will not say anything against what the hierarchy says you must preach, because this is what's in our doctrine. You must do that. Even though he may not believe it, because he knows he's going to get fired. He knows he's going to be out on the street, and there goes his security. That's the real world, folks. Now we come down here to Luke chapter 18. Now after coming down here, I'm going to read this in verse 9 and read quite a little bit of this here, because it comes here with the parable here of who is justified before God and who is not justified before God. And then he comes on down here and comes to the little children here, where baptism is not even the issue. Notice here, he says in verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. If you're led there to have that little child baptized, you're trusting in yourself, what you did, what you're having your baby done, and so forth. And we find out here, two men went up into the temple to pray, and the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Excuse me. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as these other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican, standing afar off, will not even lift up as much as his eyes to heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now the other person was very religious. I mean, they were religious. They no doubt went to church every Sunday. Now notice in verse 14, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, what we're saying this and applying this is, let me ask you something. If a preacher and a church said you to have your baby baptized, well, you are just thrilled to death to run your baby. I don't know how many people down through the years I've talked to, and they said, oh, we've got a relative who said, oh, we've got to get our baby baptized, got to get our baby baptized. So where in the world, doesn't anybody read their Bible anymore? Are we in a totally religious, ignorant world where people do not read their Bible anymore? He comes on down, notice in verse 15, and they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. The disciples didn't want even to bring the infants. Don't bother Jesus with the infants. But Jesus called them unto him, and he said, get this now, suffer the little children, that's the infants here too, to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. It is theirs. They possess it. They have it. They're going to heaven if they die. And never once did he mention water baptism. This is from Jesus Christ. He said, for such is the kingdom of God. If they had died right then, they would have went to heaven. Now let me give you something else, because this is also used by your Lutherans, your Catholics, your Church of Christ, and it would pay you to do a little Bible study before you trust in water baptism and end up, you won't have any water in hell. But you are trusting in yourself. You're trusting in your self-righteousness, because your self-righteousness is obeying what the preacher says, obeying what the church says, and there you trot right off without looking in your Bible. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we notice here in verse 38, and this is what we call their sugar daddy. Every priest I've talked to is there. Every Lutheran preacher I've talked to goes to Acts 2:38. Every Church of Christ that I've talked to goes to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Let's look at this verse once. And there's one little word that has been mistranslated that has caused all the confusion. First of all, it says back here, again, if we said here in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, notice here. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for..." Boy, underline that word "for." Circle it in your Bible. Write a note out beside it, "for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, you say, "There it is, Pastor Younce. You're baptized for the remission of sins." Well, I want you to hold your place here and go with me here, over here to Matthew here. Go back over here with me, if you will, here into the book of Matthew. I believe it's here in chapter 11. All right? Well, wait a minute if you can, or you can write it down. Matthew chapter 11 here, or 12, let's see here. Matthew chapter 12 in verse 40. Now, the little word "for" is a Greek preposition that is spelled E-I-S. It's pronounced just like ice, like you would have ice cubes, only it's E-I-S in the Greek, and it should be translated "because of." Now, if you go back here, I'm going to show you the same word, the same Greek word that is translated correctly. All right, let's go back here to Matthew chapter 12 here in verse 40. "For as Jonas was," let's see, I've got the right one here. "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." In verse 41, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas." "Because" is the Greek preposition "eis," E-I-S, the same Greek preposition as translated "for remission of sins," which would contradict everything else in the book of Acts. "Because of the remission of sins is why we're baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ," if you read it in the Greek, "because of the remission of sins," because you've had your sins remitted. Now, with that in mind, go back with me here, and let's go back here to Acts chapter 8. We're going on here now with Philip, all right? We just took a little trip around first, second, and third base, and we're going on here. As we've said, in Acts chapter 8, Philip was reading out of Isaiah chapter 53. The eunuch was, and Philip came up there. Now notice here, if you will, here in verse 34 of the 8th chapter of Acts. "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh? And the prophet this, or himself, or some other man. Then Philip opened his mouth, began with the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus." That's who is speaking about, Jesus. "Then he said, And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doeth hindereth me to be baptized? Can I be baptized? Is there any reason I should not be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart," all of your heart, the heart is the seat of your conscience, all of it, there is nowhere in your conscience that you do not believe that Jesus, now referring back to Isaiah 53, is the one who was wounded for our transgressions, bore our iniquities on the cross and so forth. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross and paid for your sins? He says, if you believe with all of your heart, no reservations in your mind, thou mayest. The thing that hinders baptism, when no person should be baptized, unless that person is a believer in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Then he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he is God in human flesh. He commanded the chariot, stand still. They both went into the water. They didn't dip their head down and let Priesty or Lutheran or Church of Christ take a little finger of water and sprinkle it over their head. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. It's an amazing thing to me how people can be led like a sheep to the slaughter. It's amazing when God has written the Bible so clearly, so specifically, but do you know why people want to get a baby baptized? Do you know why that they want to be baptized themselves for the remission of sins? Instead of because of the remission of sins, because it shows they can do something in their self-righteousness to show that they are self-righteous. And if you're baptized believing that that baptism has anything to do with you going to heaven, you are lost and you will spend eternity in hell. What in essence you're saying is, When Christ said on the cross, it is finished. It is done. There is nothing more. And when Christ said in Hebrews chapter 7, I will save you to the uttermost, that means I will save you from here until eternity, and I've completely paid for your sins. You do not believe that, or you would not be trusting in something outside of the finished work of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So when you pin it down, you do not really believe that Jesus Christ is the all-sufficient Christ, the one who died on that cross and paid completely for every sin that you've committed. When you're trusting in water baptism, you deny the full substitutionary death of Jesus Christ for your sins, because you're trusting water baptism, what you can do, as part payment for your sins, and that counsels grace. In Romans 6:16, if it be by grace, it cannot be of works, otherwise grace is not grace. If it be of grace, it can't be of works, otherwise work is not work. In Romans 11:9, and so forth. And 11:6, and you find out it is either by grace or it is by works. So, just like the publican and the Pharisee, if you're trusting water baptism, you're on the side of the Pharisees. They're your old buddies. If you're like the publican, you realize, you know, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm trusting what you did on the cross plus absolutely nothing. And then of the eunuch here, they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Baptism is only a testimony of your trust in nothing more than the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So if you've been misled into thinking your baby being baptized has something to do with that baby going to heaven, you've been totally misled, you have been lied to, and nowhere in the Bible, and I say this unequivocally, go to your preacher and say, show me anywhere. And show him Luke chapter 18, where it says, God said, forbid not these children, forbid not these infants, for such is the kingdom of God, and none of them had been baptized. It had not been instituted. Isn't that amazing? You see, I hope you're trusting in Jesus Christ, because all through the Bible, it's the blood of Christ that washes away your sins, not the water. The water will wash you right into hell. The water destroyed at the flood. And we find that out in 2 Peter. Wherefore baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of filth of the flesh, not the paying for your sins, but it's an answer of a good conscience unto God. And that's what God wants you to do after you're saved and after you realize it's Jesus Christ and Him alone. Then, and only then, are you to be baptized. Babies are never to be baptized at all. We thank you for joining with us. We hope you'll take time to write. I'd like to invite you to our church services Sunday morning from 10 o'clock until 11. And we'd like to invite you on a Sunday morning. It'd be our privilege to have you. We'd like to hear from you. If you'd like to write, our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota. And our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
It's a